This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 26, 2022, the second Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. If you have not noticed, Catholic life is difficult if you're doing it right. If you feel like, or if you know some Catholics who say, I don't think it's that difficult, I go to Mass on Sunday, they're not doing it right. It's going to be a conflict. We are never going to escape the conflict that it rages between what we want to do in our nature and what our Lord wants us to do, living according to His will or doing what we want outside thereof. This is what St. Paul talks about. St. Paul is not, and we'll go on and on about this today, he is not trying to bifurcate the flesh and the spirit. Like anything that has to do with the body is bad, and everything that does with the spirit is good. That is not the case. That is not the case at all. We, after the fall, are corrupted in our entire nature, body and soul. Paul is not throwing out some philosophical dualism, evil body, good spirit. That's not where he's going. You got to look at the context of what he's talking about, as we should all scripture. And in the context, all three readings today, all three readings have to do with the necessity of changing ourselves to a lesser or greater extent when God calls us to himself, when grace is infused to us. There is going to be a marked difference between the way things used to be and the way things are. For some, it is immediate. For some, it takes a long time for people to get with the program, so to speak. The readings today. The first reading. Elijah goes to Elisha, and he passes on the prophetic office, in a nutshell, to Elisha. Elisha's a farmer. He is a very successful farmer. He's very wealthy. And when Elisha calls him, he kills his oxen, burns all his farm equipment. There's just that dramatic change from what I was to what I am now. That is not generally what happens to most of us. Elisha, St. Paul, you know, he's on the way to Damascus, going to go arrest Christians, and then on the way there, becomes one. That doesn't usually happen with most of us. Most of us are like the gospel today. Lord, I'll follow you, but, and the Lord looks at some others and goes, hey, I want you to follow me. Oh, okay, but, those buts, those are always the conflicts that we have within us. And again, that conflict isn't going away and we struggle with it. This is why I, doing what I do, I say the confessional a lot. I hear people come in and rightfully, I do it too when I go to the confessional. There's a frustration. You know, there's just some things here. I confess this every single time I come in. Every single time. How come this doesn't stop? I mean, that's good. That shows the struggle. I don't have to go to confession because I never do anything wrong. That's a problem. One person understands the conflict. The conflict is very obvious to them. The other person doesn't have a conflict because they're not doing their faith right. This is what St. Paul's talking about. And he wants us to avoid two extremes, that whole body-spirit thing. He says in verse 13, he's been setting the stage for this by discussing how we're not under the law anymore. Now, a lot of people, they're called libertines, A lot of people look at when we're not under the law anymore. Oh, that's great. Jesus came, died for my sins. That means, you know, I got to try to watch and everything, but he really doesn't care what I do. Yes, he does. God is significantly more particular than we think he is. If you keep that in the back of your mind, you set the bar high. And if you get up there and the bar is high, you're good. If you set it low and you get up there and it's high, there's going to be problems. Set it high. Set it high. Do the whole conflict thing. That's what St. Paul wants us to do. He wants us to understand that we don't take this Christian liberty, as he says, only take not your liberty as an occasion of the flesh. Don't take your liberty to give license to do what you want to do. I want you to understand, when St. Paul says that, he's not talking about your body being bad. Little footnote on that whole thing. We know from Scripture, from God's revelation of his own, that the flesh, the body, is not bad. As a matter of fact, it's what gets us into heaven. When God created everything, Genesis, he created us how? Body and spirit. We're that hybrid. Yeah? Angels are purely spirit. God is a spirit. Rocks, trees, cows, and cats, they're just temporal. We're that in between. We got it both going on. And when you got it both going on, there's going to be some kind of tension there between both parts of the spirit. Now, when we were first created, and God said back, as he said in Genesis, God saw all the things that he made, and they were very good. Part of that was the flesh. God looked at it. That's very good. How the flesh and the soul, the spirit, how they work together. This, I've set this up perfectly. He's got it all, whatnot. So when he does things like that, he's okay. He likes it. This is the way it's supposed to be. After the fall, things get messed up. But even after that, okay, after the fall, the flesh is bad. Nope, not necessarily. For instance, what gets us into heaven? What gets us eternal life? Our Lord, in John chapter 6, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. So the flesh is what gets us into heaven. Jesus' flesh that we consume at the Eucharist every time we come to Mass. The flesh is good. The flesh gets us into heaven. We just got to use it properly. St. Paul is talking about using the flesh properly, that we have trouble using it properly because our spirits are messed up too. St. John Chrysostom hits this in one of his comments on this particular passage. He says, by the flesh, here St. Paul means earthly thoughts that are apathetic and heedless. This is not a condemnation of the body, but a reproach of the apathetic soul. For the flesh is an instrument, and no one repudiates and hates the instrument as such, but only the one who handles the instrument badly. So it's not just your flesh is bad and your spirit's good. It's that after the fall, both of them are messed up. Your spirit doesn't influence your body and do what your spirit's just dead in trespasses and sins, as St. Paul says. And this is where the conflict raises up for those of us who are imparted with grace. The worldling doesn't care about, there's no conflict with them. There's no conflict whatsoever between the soul and the spirit. They have no spirit. How dare you say that about them? It's true. The scriptures say that. When our Lord talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit, it says the world cannot receive him. That is what makes you different than the world. You have grace. You have supernatural faith to enable you to engage in this conflict. They don't even engage in the conflict. We do. And that conflict manifests itself in the way we relate to them, the way they relate to us, the way we relate to each other. Because this body and soul problem after the fall, St. Jose Maria Escriva says this. He's so quippy, but I like he puts things so simply. St. Jose Maria Escriva says, it has been well said that the soul and the body are two enemies who cannot get away from one another, and two friends who cannot get along. You are body and spirit. You have to deal with that. You have to struggle through this. But it's not a matter of body bad, spirit good. It's a matter of righteousness versus wickedness. Righteousness versus wickedness. This is why, as I just said, this is why them out there, and we talk past one another. It's not a matter of differing opinions on things. It's a matter of different worldviews. It's a matter of how we approach subject matter. hey, past few days, check it out. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but on the news, you hear this little thing about this, let us just say, attention that's going on across our nation now because of recent decisions. This is a prime example of righteousness and wickedness. That's what it boils down to. And you can call it all you want. You can call it choice. You can call it women's reproductive health and all that. We're talking about killing babies. But we get that. We get that. They don't. I read all these headlines and they're supposed to be plugging in heartstrings. There was a woman back in the day, and it was before abortion was legal, and she had an abortion, and she was charged with manslaughter. Out there, they're like, oh, that's horrible. I'm like, good. Good. You killed somebody. You can't hire a hitman to kill your wife because she's inconvenient. Okay. How do you go out and hire a doctor to kill your baby because he's inconvenient? All right. It's the same exact thing. We get that. It's cut and dry. For them, it's not cut and dry at all. They don't look at it like that. We're never going to agree on that. That's why the tension. That's all there is to it. We're not going to agree on that. Why? They don't have faith. We do. They don't struggle between righteousness and wickedness. We do. So the conflict between them and us, it's not going away. It's always going to be there. We just got to deal with it. But the way we deal with it is that conflict between them and us. Because there's not a person in this place that doesn't know someone who has been confronted with a consequence of life or a person in their life that they love who is engaged in a horrendous lifestyle, whatever, some kind of thing. How do you deal with that? This is where the conflict is within you. I mean, this isn't a conflict between you and them. It's a conflict with, how do I deal with this? I'm not going to say anything. That would be wrong. We don't do that. It is our job to, if you care about the one little bit, you will confront them with the fact that they are making improper decisions that are putting their soul in danger. You don't need to beat them over the head with it all the time. You present it. They don't listen to you. You've done your job. I would say every now and then kind of bring it up, but just live the example of a good Catholic life as you struggle through it for yourself. Because again, we are supposed to open up the door of the gospel to other people. But if they won't buy it, that's up to them. The conflict that St. Paul's talking about is interior. He's talking about the conflict within us. He's talking about a person who, after grace has been infused, being enabled to engage in the conflict at all. Notice I said enabled to engage in the conflict. They're not able to engage in the conflict. We are. Been enabled. He's not going to throw a switch and make you do, oh, I used to do unrighteous things and now I do righteous things. No, you got to work toward that. It is hard. It is very difficult. We have the liberty now to do what is right. It's been earned for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. We can keep his commandments and his precepts. Well, that's why he gave us the commandments and the precepts before, to prove that, hey, guys, here's the list of rules. Dot all the I's and cross the T's. Or, if you dot all the I's and cross the T's, you're good. If you don't, you got to fix it. He proved to us for 3,000 years we can't do it. So what did he have to do? Sent his son to do it for us. This is why our Lord said, I have not come to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill it. Okay, he fulfills it for us. That doesn't mean that we are exempt from keeping the law anymore, because the same Lord says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And here's a newsflash, the whole flesh thing. How do you keep the commandments? I keep them in my spirit. No, you keep the commandments with your flesh. Your hands don't steal things. Your hands don't kill people. Your mouth doesn't lie to people. Your flesh keeps the commandments. So when you properly order it, it can do it. It can be a good thing. So this isn't flesh bad, spirit good. It's your flesh and your spirit were a wreck. Now you have grace. Now they're not a wreck anymore. But you got to fix these things that are this tension that goes between the two. You know, it really is. If you step back, it's too difficult to do all that stuff. No, not really, because St. Paul says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Notice he doesn't say, I'm doing away with all the other laws, I'm just going to give you one. And no, he doesn't say that. He says the whole law is fulfilled if you do that. Because if you love your neighbor, you don't kill them, you don't steal from them, you don't commit adultery, you don't lie to them, etc., etc. This is what St. Paul is talking about. So, this is your responsibility. Our faith is a responsibility. Whenever you have a responsibility, it's not generally easy. You have a responsibility to your boss. You get up on Monday morning, oh gosh, what do you do? You get up, you're responsible to show up at work. When you get there, you're responsible to do a good job. That's arduous. I'd rather be fishing. I'd rather be playing golf, whatever your deal is. I'd rather be doing that. No, you got a responsibility to your family. You got to feed them. You got to keep a roof over their head. You got to do these things. It's arduous. That's your faith. There are requirements to your faith. There are responsibilities for your faith. Don't buy into this nonsense, this trash that you, I don't have to prove anything. Yes, you do. As a matter of fact, the scriptures explicitly say you must, and that's the word, you must prove yourself. The whole Philippians thing, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah. You got a responsibility. Okay, this is a reality. You got a responsibility to Christ. That's all there is to it. That responsibility is all-encompassing in your life as a Catholic. And the deeper you get into this, the more you understand this. And the more you understand this, the harder it gets. Because when we talk about their responsibility, you're not talking about your responsibility to dot I's and cross T's with God's commandments and precepts. We're talking about a responsibility in the way we live our lives. The example that we give to others, being an example for Christ. We have a responsibility in what we do, in how we dress, yeah, in how we speak, talk, the language that we use, how you vote. It's all encompassing. Every aspect of our life. Here's the discussion again. Well, in politics, there are some moral issues and there are some political issues. You really get down to brass tacks. Everything's got a moral context to it. Everything. Absolutely everything has a moral context. Your budget in your house has a moral context. Is that proper stewardship to buy this, to buy that? We need to evaluate everything like that in our. Oh, man, I thought it was just about going to Mass on Sunday. Not. It's real. And it's hard. And the deeper you get into it, like I said, the harder it gets. But while we're dealing with that, there are things to enjoy here. There are things to enjoy. All the conflict and, oh my gosh, this is a... No, there are things in this world to enjoy. I'm dating myself. Back in the 70s, it was real popular. You see every now and then, you see them. Back in the 70s, it was everywhere. If it feels good, do it. Yeah, that was a bumper thing. Most people are like, that's horrible. How do you say that? Well, if your mind's in the gutter, it can mean, you know, it can be horrible. But if it feels good, do it. If it's within parameters, and if it's done in moderation, it's really true. Okay? Go out and have a glass of wine or a mixed drink or some beers with somebody and everything. Do it in moderation. That's good. The scriptures say God gave us wine to make joyful the hearts of men. Okay? How about that one? There are things to enjoy here, and they're fleshly. I love to eat too much. If you don't do things in moderation, it could be, you know, there's things, some things I eat, I keep pushing it, you know, some bad things are going to happen eventually. Every year I go, blood pressure's a little higher every year. Yeah, you know, yeah, I have problem moderation sometimes. Previously it's got sugar in it. I got problem moderation. We're supposed to struggle through this stuff. But I mean, in spiritual issues, it's the same thing. The flesh isn't always bad, but the spirit's not always, you know, I know a lot, I hear this one a lot. People that make excuses for habitual sin. Oh, this life circumstance is the reason I do this. This life circumstance is the reason I do that. Stop blaming life circumstances for you not keeping God's will. That just indicates, you know, you got grace and you're enabled to do anything, but you're not doing a good job at it. This is reality. It's hard. Enjoy the stuff you can enjoy. Fix the thing you need to fix. This is what St. Paul's saying. Hey, he said, it's difficult. We've been called to difficulties. But we've got good examples that have lived through difficulties. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Virgin Mary, all the saints, all the martyrs, who had a whole lot tougher road to hoe than we do. That we're just called to be responsible. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.